This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket Hand.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we've reached the midway point of the week. On the show today, we're going to talk Dodgers as they take Game 1 of the World Series last night. And guess what? They're 3 wins away from the championship. Yeah, good for them. But Tampa Bay, if they're going to come back, it's got to be tonight. Is Tua time too early in Miami? As that announcement came, hey, you know what? The Dolphins are on a bye week. Might as well chill out. But make some news while you're at it. Tua Tagovailoa will be the starter when they come back November 1st when they host the L.A. Rams. If you're Trevor Lawrence, do you stay at Clemson if the Jets have the number one pick? Is going pro that important to put your career at risk with an organization that seems to kind of dump on the quarterback? Also, is there a mutiny within the Dallas Cowboys organization? Anonymous players are already griping about the coaching staff having them completely and utterly unprepared. That's all coming up on the show today. Plus, we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And we'll take a look at the Steelers off to a 5-0 start for the first time since 1978. But game one of the World Series, it goes to the Dodgers. They beat Tampa Bay 8-3. This game, and we'll get more into this coming up, this game almost went the opposite of a lot of things that you expect these two teams to deliver just based on history, right? Clayton Kershaw pitched fantastic. He went 6 innings. He allowed 2 hits, 1 run. That was a solo shot by Kevin Kiermaier. He worked great baseball. The Dodgers played some small ball. They got a double steal. They worked an infield hit, Mookie Betts scoring from third base. The Rays starter, Tyler Glasnow, pitched over 100 pitches. Now, look, we've talked about this with the Rays before. They're not going to do that opener thing that they were used to all the time. They've got legit starters that can go 4, 5, 6, 7 innings. But I thought Kevin Cash would go to that more in the World Series. I thought he would go with sort of different arms in the World Series. And Tyler Glasnow got rocked a bit, especially in that 5th inning. And those were things, just 3 things, that kind of went in the opposite direction of what you have expected in Game 1. We'll get more into that. Plus, as Tua Tagovailoa gets ready for his first start, has Miami rushed things a bit? It's all coming up. It's Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, make sure your family doesn't have a fever by taking their temperatures both before dinner and in the morning. Stay safe with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. It takes an accurate reading in seconds and is the number one preferred thermometer for pediatricians. All right, so the Dodgers win the World Series Game 1, and they beat the Rays 8-3. So Clayton Kershaw, how nervous were you, Ron, about Clayton Kershaw in this game?
Oh, man. I just, yesterday, everyone kept asking my opinion, obviously, like, how do you think the Dodgers are going to do? And I kept saying, Dodgers in 5, maybe 6, I don't know.
Right, sure.
You know, just trying to play it safe. Because for me, it was all about getting through Game 1. It was all about just getting through Clayton Kershaw's outing. And it was just a bundle of nerves. It was like, okay, what Clayton Kershaw is going to show up? Is it the 13 strikeout performance guy that mowed down the Brewers? Or is it the last 2 outings he had where I don't even think he lasted 4 innings?
This is what was interesting. So, like, both pitchers are doing well in the beginning, right? It's kind of 0-0, and they're both kind of doing well. And then the Dodgers put up 2 runs in the 4th, and then Kiermaier hits the home run in the 5th, and this is the moment for me. I'm like, okay, this is where you got to make a decision, right? It's not a bad home run. It's not a bad hit, but it's also one of those moments where, because of all of the postseason failures that he's had, this is when you kind of expect the doors to open up a little bit, right? Like, okay, when he gets back out there, What's going to happen now? Is Dave Roberts going to not send him back out there, or is he going to say, okay, no, you're still my guy. You've been cruising along. You've been pitching really well. It's a blemish, big deal. Go out there and get it. But then the Dodgers put up four runs in the fifth, and that gives you the cushion, right? To say, okay, now we're cool. You go back out there.
That's how I felt. It was like, roll him out one more time.
Right. You can roll him out again because the Dodgers answered the bell at the bottom of that fifth inning by putting up four runs. And then it goes from there, right? But I think it was right. I know like people on Twitter did not like, at that moment when Kershaw got out of had a 1-2-3 sixth inning, that they didn't like going to the bullpen after six. Like, if Kershaw's pitching this well, ride it. But I also think for everybody's psyche, get Kershaw out of a game that is comfortable. If the bullpen blows it or it's close because of that, that's fine. But at least the narrative on Kershaw is he did everything he should have done. Six innings, one run, eight strikeouts, two hits, one walk. Perfect. Get it done. If you can't trust your bullpen, then you don't have a series, and you've got to be able to trust your bullpen. You got Kershaw out with perfect numbers, a great outing for him in the postseason, kind of ruins the narrative. And if everybody else comes in and starts throwing some goose eggs, well, that's on them. That's not on Kershaw.
Yeah, you
but
got
don't
him in
put
there.
Kershaw in a situation where he's going to fail towards the end.
You left him in there long enough that you know that, okay, if things keep continuing, Kershaw gets the win.
Yep.
And I think at the end of the day, that was the most important thing. Was like, let's make sure that he has the win underneath his belt. And, you know, I mean, yeah, like you said, it was a great outing for him. It was everything that you wanted. I mean, eight strikeouts in six innings. That's perfect.
You retired, 17 of 18 batters or something like that at one point? So Kershaw, he throws 78 pitches. He's going to be able to go for the Dodgers in game five on normal rest.
If necessary.
So,
and for the love of God, please don't bring him in.
So four. So you've got game five. You got a pitcher now that had a fantastic outing on 78 pitches that if game five is necessary is going to be on normal rest. That is perfect. Lay it out right there. That's great. That's why I'm fine. I'm fine with him being pulled after six really good innings. But the Dodgers last night, they hit home runs. I mean, Betts had a home run. Bellinger had a home run. They did a double steal, which I thought was awesome. I mean, Mookie Betts got a walk, ended up on third, scored on an infield hit.
Yes.
I mean, that's how great is that?
Yeah.
By the way, giving us free tacos. Thank you for giving us free tacos.
Again.
Right? Again. That's right. Great point.
Love that little graphic that popped up.
That's right.
One MVP, one World Series trophy, two free tacos.
That's right. Totally forgot about that.
Thank you. Good job.
So you end up, you got a small ball outing. You got some long ball. I mean, the offense pops with the bats. And this is a nice win for the Dodgers. And if you're Tampa Bay, you go regroup tonight. You send Blake Snell, one of your aces, out to the mound. Tony Gonsolin will get the start for the Dodgers, the rookie. He's only got 20 outings under his belt, a couple games from last year and then this year. But big deal. He pitched in game seven. Gonsolin pitched in game seven. So I don't even know if you need him for like five or six innings tonight. You just can go, maybe he goes for three or four, and then you bring in some other guys and go from there.
I still don't know how I feel about these type of games where, you know, the Dodgers don't have a bona fide star. They're just like, well, it's going to be a bullpen day.
Yeah. Especially in the world, it's too risky in a World Series.
Yeah. Are you just going to throw out a pitcher each inning? I mean, you know, part of what made Kershaw so good last night is that he got into that groove. He got into that rhythm.
But I think this is what happens when you go right from like a seven game series right to the World Series a day later. And you got some tired arms after a tough series. So you're going to have to figure out where you're going to go with everything. And you go with Walker Buehler in game three.
Yeah.
And then you go from there. So, you know. But I was entertained last night. I thought it was a fun game. It had everything that you wanted from a baseball game. I mean, you know, Tampa didn't really have a lot of moments where they could, you know, they didn't really have a lot on, they didn't leave a lot of men on base because they didn't really get on base. So it was good pitching for the Dodgers, good offense. It was kind of it was from that standpoint, entertaining to watch them do what they do. And we'll see if the Rays can tie it up tonight. But overall, it was a good start to the World Series. And there was a good crowd there for COVID. There was a good, 11,000?
Yeah.
Got into the game last night. I mean, that's not bad. I mean, it's not 45 or 40 or whatever that place holds. That's a big stadium. And it's brand new, too. So it's, who knows? I don't know what the capacity is. But they had about 11,000 people there last night. And for COVID-19, that's probably the biggest crowd we've had in sports since in the regular sports since it all came back. I got to think it is, right? We haven't had 11,000 in an NFL game this year. No fans in the NHL and the NBA bubbles.
Yeah.
None during the regular season in baseball.
Colleges might have.
College might have squeezed. Like, Texas A&M might have had a lot of fans in there. I remember that game against Florida. I was like, is there protocols in place here? That looks kind of big. Yeah. That looks like a lot of fans.
I think people lost count.
I do, too. I think
that's all it was.
It's like those stories are like, we're only going to let 1,500 people into the grand opening of the store, and like 10,000 are in there, and they're like, we just couldn't stop them. They just started pouring through the turnstiles.
Yeah, it's as if the guys who were counting were like, 4,000. Oh, man, I lost count. Well, start over. All right. Yeah.
It's like at Disneyland when it opened up in 1955. They had people had fake tickets, and they just let them come through the gates because they couldn't tell the difference. They're like, yeah, just come on in. And it was like, you know, like, a million people in there or something like that. So it was 11,000 people. That's you know, again, pretty good. And I thought it was a good showing for the Dodgers. And we'll see if the Rays can bounce back in game two. But the Kershaw angle, I think, was the key. I think the watching him perform, because it's something we said yesterday, right? Like, you're not ever going to, as an organization, you can never go into any playoff series with some sort of concern about Kershaw. You just got to pitch him until he breaks through or breaks out of whatever postseason slump he's in. Whatever is causing him to not deliver in the postseason, you cannot admit it as an organization. He is your Hall of Fame player. He is a guy that's going right to the Hall of Fame. His regular season is great, and there is no reason why you limit him or you watch him or you're concerned. You just go, let him do it. Let him go out there. And if he keeps failing, he keeps failing, but you got to keep going. And it was rewarded yesterday. A great outing. It was nice to see him do Clayton Kershaw things. I mean, look, I'm not a Dodger fan like you are, but I would have felt terrible if he got rocked.
Oh, God.
I just would go, how does this happen all the time that he does it? But nope, was in that groove. And you're right. I think that's the thing. I worry about the whole opener, guys pitching a couple innings. To be honest with you, I don't understand the baseball science of it. I'll never forget the Rockies were in a game. I think it was the play-in game to go to the postseason against San Diego in 2007. They had won 14 of 15 games to tie the Padres for a one-game winner goes on to the postseason matchup at Coors Field. And I remember Clint Hurdle. He kept going to the bullpen over and over again in a close game, a really close game. I think it was tied. And I remember sitting there with a friend of mine in the press box, and we kept going, look, one of these guys is going to screw up. Like, you can't keep rolling the dice like this. Not everybody that's going to come out of the pen is going to throw lights out. One of these guys is going to screw up if you keep doing this. And that's, I just felt that. I just feel that way whenever I see managers keep messing around with their starters. Like, it's not so much going to the pen and going, I'm going with my lefty, I'm going with my righty in certain situations. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this sort of idea of you guys get a couple innings and you get a couple innings and you get a couple innings. Yeah, it's great when it works and everybody pitches great, but it's also terrible when three guys pitch great and then the fourth guy comes in the fifth inning and he gives up four runs. And you're like, oh, well, that was, you know, why don't we just stick with the number two guy that was mowing them down?
Exactly, yeah.
You know?
Then by the time you get to that point, you can't bring the other guys back.
That's right.
And
that's
you've already wasted this pitcher. Now you're going back to your bullpen for real.
Yep.
And I don't get it. I don't get the whole opener pitcher. I don't get, hey, let's just roll out all of our bullpen guys. And maybe that's just us, you know, having a...
I might be too old school for this.
Yeah, you know, maybe we are an unwritten rule guy when it comes to this.
Maybe so. Because you know what? The generation before me always kept saying, like, well, you know, Bob Gibson pitched 27 innings one time. And it's like, really? Yeah, they could never take out those guys.
He pitched 3 days in a row.
Yeah, 3 days in a row. Mordecai Three-Fingered Brown one time pitched five straight days back in the 1850s. It's like, I know, I get it, but this is a different baseball. But this is even more advanced than going with mid relievers, closers, etc. This is like you pitch an inning and then you pitch an inning and you pitch an inning and you pitch an inning. And the Rays who brought that in, they're not using it as much. I mean, they let Tyler Glasnow get rocked last night. I mean, they just let him out there. Just, oops, pitched really good until he started, you know, giving up some hits. All right, so the World Series, again, we'll go into Game 2 tonight in Arlington. All right, coming up, the Miami Dolphins have a bye week, but that doesn't mean they're not making any news. They announced that Tua Tagovailoa will be their starter when they come back to face the Rams on November 1st. Brian Flores, did he make the right move? We'll discuss that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge, and if it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Brian Flores has announced that Tua Tagovailoa will be the starter for the Dolphins. Not this weekend, but next weekend. They're on a bye, so why not get more work in for Tua? Tua time has come. Okay, this is a little surprising, but at the same time, it's not. Okay, why is it surprising? Well, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing really well. The team is 3-3. There's an extra playoff spot in both conferences, and the Dolphins are right in the mix of things, right? But at the same time, it's not, because the Dolphins are committed to the long-term growth and rebuilding of this team rather than short-term success. Now, is that a smart plan? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But remember, when you draft a quarterback in the first round, eventually you have to turn that job over to him. Even if the quarterback veteran that is supposed to hold the seat and do pretty well and keep things going until the guy is ready, even if he's playing well, you can't delay the inevitable. Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the starting quarterback for the Dolphins at some point. But you can't delay it if you feel like he's ready. You can't delay it if your team is under this sort of, hey, we're playing well, and this old, agey veteran guy who knows his role is doing well. Now, is that unfair to the other guys on the team that are on the Dolphins for a short time, maybe a one-year contract, maybe guys that just land there and just looking for a gig and trying to get back into their career, you know, getting in their careers? Maybe they're coming back from an injury and they signed with the Dolphins and they're making most of the time there. And all of a sudden they look at their record and like, yeah, you know what? Why not us? Why not? I mean, look, there's an extra playoff team. There's an extra wild card team. We're playing actually pretty good. Our quarterback is pretty decent. And I'm playing my tail off. So are the guys on this team. We're doing really well. And then you're going to throw it into a rookie where the object of his time isn't to continue the pace of leading us to the playoffs at 3-3 and moving on and making us a contender. The real move is to give him all the experience necessary so eventually he's the guy that takes over. Is it unfair to the guys that are on limited time with the Dolphins? No, but that's just the way it works. That's unfortunately the way it works. Look, we all know that when you're a coach or on a coaching staff or you're on a player, the business of what you do is to win a Super Bowl, right? That's what you do. But there's another side to the organization that doesn't need a Super Bowl championship to be successful. That's everybody else in the front office. So there's the football side, and then there's the business side, right? So the football side is the coaches are preparing every single week. They're trying to win games. They're trying to put the team in the best position to make the postseason. You know, we're making roster cuts. We're changing a lineup. We are preparing for the game. Here's our practice schedule. All of those things are geared towards delivering a championship within the organization. But then there's the other side of the organization that has to deal with marketing. It has to deal with ticket sales. It deals with suite purchases. It deals with merchandise sales. It deals with all of the business aspect of it to make money. When people say the business of a team is to win a Super Bowl, that's not true, because the Cleveland Browns are in business and they never won a Super Bowl. So have a couple of other teams. Detroit's never won a Super Bowl, and yet they're in business. Championships come from one side of the building, but the overall profitability of the team, or the overall, let's make some money, even if we break even, that's on another side of the building. This decision actually helps both in a way, because on the one hand, the business side of things, now you've got your starting quarterback. This is the guy that is going to be the starter. He's going to be the face of the franchise. So he's going to be in all the marketing material. He's going to be the reason people get excited about your team. He's the guy that is going to be the star of Miami if he plays very well. Okay, so you've got the merchandising people, the marketing people, the promotions people, the people who sell tickets. For them, this is a decision that benefits them, all right? Even if Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing well, it doesn't benefit that side of the building. However, on the coaching side of it, the one that's driven to win Super Bowls, that may not be a Super Bowl decision today, but it has to eventually be a part of the plan to win a championship at some point. After all, you drafted him high in the first round. Now, the Giants did this. When the Giants drafted Eli Manning, Kurt Warner was the quarterback. And Kurt Warner had the Giants a pretty decent record. But when Eli came to the – Eli had to eventually start. And when he did, the Giants didn't make the playoffs, and they were actually derailed from what Kurt Warner had accomplished. But that wasn't the point. The point was, this is the guy, and eventually he has to be the starter. And it can't wait until we're terrible. It can't wait until we're out. It has to happen today. Or at some point, it didn't necessarily have to happen today, but at some point it did. And this is where Flores' coaching decisions, why he gets paid what he gets paid. This is what he had to do. He had to properly evaluate during practice whether this kid was ready to take over this team. Now, he's looking over at Joe Burrow. He looks over at Justin Herbert. Now, he knows the history of this league. And you know you have to get a guy in the game to experience all the ups and downs of being in the NFL. You can go in practice all day long, but you can't replicate game speed until you're in the game. You can't replicate the timing as much as you can try in practice. You can't replicate. You're wearing a red jersey. They can't hit you. It comes close, but it's not the same. And Tua has to start getting into the mode of preparing as a starter. I'm sure he's preparing for when he can take over. Fitzpatrick gets hurt, but he has to go into practice every week knowing that he's the starter and what his responsibilities are going to be. They don't have a better person in the leadership role than Ryan Fitzpatrick. We touched on this yesterday. I've been around the NFL a long time. I started covering the Patriots when right out of college with one station in New Hampshire. I covered the Broncos for 10 years. I've been around covering the NFL for a long time. And one of the things fans don't really understand is a lot of guys in this league do not want to play mentor. We hear it all the time. Yeah, well, we'll draft this kid and he's got no better person to work under than X. Well, X doesn't really want to teach somebody to take over his job, right? X isn't a fan like you're a fan. That player wants to start. He wants to play. He wants to make money. He's not interested in teaching some kid out of college how to be him. He wants to be him. And fans buy into this all the time, especially in quarterback situations. But Fitzpatrick is different. And there have been a few guys like this. But Fitzpatrick is different. Fitzpatrick knows who he is and how he can make money in this league. He makes money in this league by being a quality backup and being a mentor. And for that reason, he can stay in this league a little bit longer. He's willing to say, look, I know what I'm here to do. I'm here to play until your young guy's ready. I've made some money. I've got a family. I've been on all these teams. I've been in this league a while. When you're ready to do it, I'll be right there as biggest cheerleader. A lot of guys aren't like that. A lot of guys do not want to take a young kid and go, yeah, come on in. John Elway was not a friend of Tommy Maddox when Dan Reeves drafted him. When they thought, oh, Elway's kind of getting older. Right, a lot of guys don't do this, but Fitzpatrick knows he could do this. He knows that's what he's going to keep him in the league. And if the Dolphins were to release him or let him go, whatever, there's another team out there that might go, yeah, come on in. We got a young kid too, and we know you can play, and we know you can fill that role until he's ready, and you've got a good reputation in that department. On the one hand, of course, it's surprising. They're 3-3, and like I said, with the extra playoff team, they're right in the hunt. But at the same time, eventually, this has got to be this kid's job. It's got to be Tua's job. And if he's healthy, if he's wowing you in practice, he's doing things enough to make the other players on the team confident that he's ready to go in, Flores made the right decision by putting him in and starting him against the Rams on November 1st. Coming up, if you're Trevor Lawrence, here on the flip side, if you get the Jets have the number one pick, would you stay in Clemson? We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, if you're looking for a great gift for somebody or a great gift for yourself, homefields.com has got the answer. More than 160 stadiums and arenas available in a beautiful three-dimensional art piece that you got to see to believe. The way Ken Small, who created these pieces, he shot the images from these stadiums from the air and then used his computer to separate them so that the middle layer, there's a space and it looks beautiful. It's got this three-dimensional effect of your favorite stadiums, creates this nice illusion. Plus, they're lit, so they actually enhances the illusion. And they've got over 160 stadiums and arenas to choose from. Some older stadiums, maybe feeling nostalgic, or newer stadiums, the ones that are currently in use right now. Go check them out at homefields.com. As I said, it makes a great Christmas gift for a friend of yours, or maybe even yourself. And it's working for Ron, Dodger Stadium on the mantle, and so far they are winning out in the World Series, three wins away from a championship. And the Steelers are 5-0, and I've got Three Rivers Stadium, so it's working for both of us. Check them out at homefields.com. So here's a question that was put to Roddy White yesterday, former Atlanta Falcon. If you're Trevor Lawrence, do you go to the NFL if the Jets have the number one pick, or do you stay in school? Now, look, I don't advise anybody to stay in school if you can go in the first round of any sport. You can go back to college and get your degree. I don't care. To be honest with you, I don't lose sleep whether or not an athlete has his college education or not. That's up to him. He's an adult. He wants to get his degree, get his degree. He'll have money enough to do so. He can do so in the offseason. I think you strike while the iron's hot. You make money. You make generational wealth. In the end, most of us went to college for that very, very reason, so that we can make some money and do something for a living, maybe not make generational wealth, but actually go to college to learn a trade, to get a job. Football and basketball players learned a trade. They went there, learned and got better at their job, and then went on and made some money out of it. So if you are a person that should be in the first round of the NBA or the NHL, I always tell you to go to school. But in this circumstance, Ron, the Jets aren't very good with quarterbacks. Now, that circumstance can change. Adam Gase isn't coach for life with the Jets.
I don't even know if Adam Gase is coach for rest of
the next
season.
Couple of weeks. So, but they don't have a very good record of developing quarterbacks. Mark Sanchez started off strong, Christian Hackenberg. Now you got Sam Darnold. So the organization can be blamed as well, not just Adam Gase, as not developing a player. Now, like I said, I don't think Trevor Lawrence should be giving away his talent for free at the University of Clemson or Clemson University, if he can go in the first round. But you also don't want to be put in a situation as a rookie working for an organization where your career is going to be derailed. He has confidence in his ability, like other quarterbacks who have gone to play there had confidence in their ability. And the fact that Sam Darnold, who was just drafted a couple of years ago, they're already possibly, the idea is circulating that they'll go get Trevor Lawrence. What does that say about the organization if you found your guy and you can't develop your guy and you drafted him high in the first round too? If you're Lawrence, why don't you pull an Eli Manning? Or why don't you pull a John Elway and just say, I'm not playing for you. So that's it. I don't care where you send me. I ain't playing for you. So you can draft me, but I ain't playing for you. Go in that direction. But maybe he likes college. Peyton Manning did this. Peyton Manning, after his junior year, he was talking about going to the NFL, had the big press conference. He announced, nope, I'm staying in Knoxville. There was Matt Leinart. He did the same thing. He had that big press conference. I think Matt Barkley at USC did the same thing as well. Sometimes the college game is just appealing, and you just want to stay. I think for Peyton Manning, it was. I think Manning, because of his dad, who was a legend at Ole Miss, I think he had a better insight into the collegiate game. I think he had a better insight into, look, I'm never getting these years back. I can play in the NFL for 15 years if I'm healthy, but I can only do this for four. And that's it. There's no going back to this. So if I want to maximize my experience at the college level, is a different feel in certain parts of the country for the college game. He was certainly in the middle of that playing at Tennessee, where this is never going to come back again. Those rivalry Saturdays, being in this part of the country in this conference, the NFL is a business, and I'll work the business. But this is a something that's been a part of my family for a long time. You know, knowing how big my dad was in college, how important, you know, college was, maybe trying to go win a Heisman Trophy, which he certainly was the favorite to win it in his senior year and did not because Charles Woodson ended up winning it. But I think in Lawrence's case, he's won a national title. He's established himself as the top quarterback of the class. He established himself as a number one pick. Unless there is a missing piece, maybe a Heisman, whatever. Maybe if there's a missing piece, I think you go into the league. But again, I understand the college draw. It is different. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It is different. Look, if you've been in the belly of some of these conferences like the SEC or even Big 12 or in Texas or whatnot, there is a feeling to the collegiate game that's different. I mean, that's different. That's good.
Yeah, but
so
I agree.
Nevertheless, I think for the most part, there is a feeling like Trevor Lawrence, if he goes into the pros, he better make sure that there is a team that's drafting him that is ready to take him.
Well,
you play on lousy teams. That's no doubt.
To expand on
but
that
you
question,
don't want
though.
To be in an organization that is taking your talent and not coaching it and not developing it and then fritting it away. And then next thing you know, you've disappeared. And next thing you know, you're bouncing around the league looking for a place to reestablish yourself.
Yeah, to expand on that question.
And sometimes you do. I mean, we talk about Ryan Tannehill at Tennessee. He didn't really do a lot of great things in Miami. But then he gets a second chance with the Titans, and now he's the man. Right, he's got the Titans 5-0. He led them to the AFC Championship game by being a minimalist quarterback, but nevertheless, he's still the quarterback. But and he was, financially rewarded by the Titans for doing that. You certainly can do that.
Does he pull an Eli Manning at some point?
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Yeah. You can say I'm not going to play for you.
Force the hand.
Yeah. You can just say, "Look, I'm not playing for the Jets. So somebody get them to trade me because I'm not coming. I'm not playing."
I mean, what would it take for the Jets? Is it needing new ownership? Is it just because it always starts from the top, and that's what you're kind of afraid of, right?
Yeah, that's the problem that you have is, look, you can change coaches and you can all of that. You're hoping that happens. If you're looking at that scenario and you say, look, they've got to but their organization has never really said, you know what, we screwed up on, we had it right with these guys and then we screwed it up with Adam Gase, but we'll get it right back. You know, they haven't had a level of success. They haven't had an organization that has been successful. Remember Rex Ryan had Mark Sanchez went to two AFC title games, and that was, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, no. That was always against my Chargers, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. They lost to the Colts and the Steelers in the AFC title game. But that might as well be 100 years ago.
That's right? Almost don't remember it.
Yeah. So it's interesting advice to give Trevor Lawrence, but at the same time, and you do not do, I wouldn't give it. I would not give any more years to Klein. You've won him a title. You put him in a title game. You're probably going to have him in a title game again this year. That's enough. You've done it. Go make some money. Go make money.
I mean, listen, we already know he's the number one overall pick. No matter who has the number one overall pick, he's number one.
That's right.
You know, whether it's the Jets picking him, because let's just call it like it is, the Jets will probably be there.
Yeah.
Or, is there's going to be a team, say maybe it's Detroit, offering a bunch of draft picks, players, whatnot, for that number one pick. You know, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how you would not want to make the leap in there, because now you're risking the chance of millions and millions of dollars. You're risking the chance of life-changing money.
Yep.
And I don't think you can say no to that.
No, and look, the other aspect to it is, if you're the Jets and you have the number one pick, and Trevor Lawrence is going to come out, you take him and you end the Sam Darnold experiment, because you cannot look at your fan base and say, here's a guy that is basically built in a laboratory to play NFL football, and we are turning him down because we're committed to Sam Darnold. You can love Sam Darnold all you want. I mean, I like him. But I don't like him more than I like Trevor Lawrence's potential. And you can't sell it. I don't think you can sell it. You've had a number of years with Donald in which you're terrible. And here comes Trevor Lawrence, who's like, who has that same level of analysis, if you will, as Andrew Luck, right? Built for this league, will succeed right away. He's got all the tools. He does all these things great. He's got the size. He's got the arm. He's got the smarts. All of that is in the package. This is what he's built for. He's a franchise quarterback from day one. And if you're the Jets and you have, this is the guy you can get. You can go get picks. You can get a nice package for him, but you still won't sell it. Because any failures that you have down the road from that decision, you don't win. You're 6-10, 5-11, and Trevor Lawrence is developing. And I don't mean coming out of the gates and leading a team to a pussy. He doesn't have to do that. Peyton Manning didn't do that. But if Lawrence is in the league for a while and the natural ability and the experience kind of blend together, and by year 2, 3, 4, he's consistently putting his team into the playoffs, you will never live that down as an organization. People will never forget that. Ever. If that's what happens, right? You'll never forget it. So you're going to have to convince his camp that you've got his best interests in mind. He's not going to be, his talent and the experience that he needs is not going to be frittered away by the coaching staff, no matter who it is. Because it's very unlikely. People are like, Adam Gase can't coach him. Adam Gase ain't coaching Trevor Lawrence.
No.
The idea that Adam Gase is going into this offseason as the head coach of the Jets is silly.
And if he is in the NFL, all the other NFL owners need to step in and go, this is horrible for the league.
Yeah, that's enough.
Not
call
one
Commissioner
player.
Goodell. And get him.
Yeah, can we Donald Sterling the Johnsons, please?
But if he goes out, if the Jets go out and get a bona fide decent name that was willing to be like, all right, well, if they got Trevor Lawrence, I'll take that job. Yeah. I'll be more than happy to go in there and do that. Plus, you don't even have to convince people. It's one of 32 jobs in the world.
Yeah.
There's nobody who doesn't have a gig that's like, nah, I can't coach. I'm not coaching the Jets.
Yeah, I can't do that. That's bad for my...
Like, no, I'm coaching the Jets. It's like, I don't care. I don't care how bad they are. I don't care what the cap thing is. I don't care. I'm coaching the Jets. I'm taking one of 32 jobs in the world.
Ah, maybe they'll get Dabo.
That's right. That'll be good. Dabo's like, I'm done with college now that my meal ticket's gone. All right.
You think I want to just wallow in the ACC?
I think I'm going to recruit another one of these guys? You're insane. All right. I already gave you Deshaun Watson. And I already gave you Trevor Lawrence. That's enough.
I'm tapped out.
Two in a lifetime is good enough. I'm not doing it again.
I kind of see what Lincoln Riley is going through. I don't want to go through that.
Yeah, I ain't going through that.
Oklahoma with that. Three losses. No. Two losses.
Two conference losses, nevertheless. Yeah. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, big weekend in college football for one conference. We'll get to that in just a minute. This hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Ready for a new loan? Rocket can. So the Big Ten is about ready to play this weekend. Are you ready for some Big Ten football? The AP poll is. Listen to this. So without playing a game, here's what the AP poll looks like for Big Ten teams. Ohio State is ranked 5th. Penn State is ranked 8th. Wisconsin is tied with North Carolina. They're ranked 14th. Michigan is ranked 18th. And Minnesota is ranked 21st. These are all teams that have yet to play a football game, and they're in the top 25, hanging right there. There's a lot of expectations there for that conference.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Coming back into the swing of things. The AP poll should have said, you know what? We know we do a preseason poll, but that's just for marketing. You guys need to play before we absolutely make a decision on you.
Exactly.
USC and Oregon are from the Pac-12, and they're getting started, I think, not this weekend, but next weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe the weekend after. Sometime in November. They're going to start their season. But the Big Ten is up and running this weekend.
I mean, it'll be nice, but, you know, it's kind of lost its luster, though, because we've already had college football. We've had some good games so far, and it's like, I didn't realize... It's almost one of the situations where I haven't realized the Big Ten hasn't been playing.
That's right, yeah.
They kind of shot themselves in the foot.
Everybody else is having a good time, right? We you know, Clemson's off to a 5-0 start. They won by like 60 points against Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Alabama and Georgia played a game on Saturday night, 2-3, and Alabama shut them out in the second half, and Mac Jones threw 4 touchdowns. Notre Dame is playing pretty well right now. Yes, we've had some postponements. Yes, we've had some movement, sure, but we're rolling right along, and Ohio State and Penn State are like walking in going, hey, the party don't start till I show up. And that's it, and that's what it feels like. Like 5th and 8th in the AP poll. Like we're 5 weeks in to the college football season.
Yeah, when I saw that yesterday, I was like, how is Ohio State 5th?
5th! Like poor Texas A&M that beat Florida is like, wait a second. Can we just at least take a look at what this version is first? It's one thing, like I said, in the preseason poll, everyone ignores because it's a marketing ploy to get you excited about some early games, but nobody really knows. Right? Everyone's just guessing. 5 weeks into the season, you now have a resume for these football teams that are playing. Yeah, you have a resume for Georgia and Alabama and Cincinnati and Florida and Clemson.
And I agree that some teams have benefited from the Big Ten not being there.
Yeah, sure, of course.
You know, it was like, you know, you hear like a weird school being top 25.
Louisiana, like, Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, well, you're top 25. That's not right. But...
You know, here they come.
Yeah, I think all the Big Ten schools should be, you know, 26-30.
Yeah. And by the way, we're,
let's see what you can do.
Just, you know, you just play a game and then we'll talk about you being ranked.
Yeah.
It's Wake Up Call.